Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of The Skintellectual. I'm your host, Debbie Jones, and I'm very sorry that there was no episode last week. I had gotten into a routine of making sure I could get an episode out every Tuesday, and then there was just so much going on in my personal life, some medical things for myself and my children, so it just didn't happen. And I've also started working a lot more. I'm filling in for somebody else at the school, so I just didn't. But I'm glad you're back for another episode. I'm glad you're listening to this one. And today's episode, what you're going to hear about are ingredients. I'm not going to talk about specific products, specific brands, but I'm going to talk about specific ingredients and kind of what they do and how they help your skin. Again, in this episode, I'm not going to be recommending specific products, but I might do that in another one. So I think also to make up for the fact that I didn't release one last week, I'm going to release two episodes this week. So hang tight. Let's dive into those ingredients, shall we? Okay, let's talk ingredients. There are a million, and some of these you will have heard of, some of these you will not have heard of, some things you might know what they do, and some things you don't. So, and I'm not going to go in any particular order. I'm not going to talk about like daytime ingredients versus nighttime ingredients. I'll go deeper into stuff like that in a different episode. So I'm just going to talk about some of the things that you definitely want to be on the lookout for in your skincare. So a lot of people will think that we as professionals in the skincare world are just trying to make money off of you by telling you that you need medical grade skincare, and it's not entirely true. I mean, there definitely are some people like that. I actually had one of my students. I had told her a few things that she could go get. I super love The Ordinary for a few things, and so I told her that she could go to, not Sephora, Ulta, to get a couple of things. Well, when she went, she got up to the counter, and the girl was like, oh my gosh, I wouldn't get that stuff. That brand sucks. And she was like, oh, I mean, what do you think I should get? I mean, because she was just kind of thrown off, right? So then this girl brings her to Drunk Elephant, which if you don't know either one of these brands and you're listening, The Ordinary's typical price point is going to be less than $20, and Drunk Elephant is going to be at least like $65 or $70. And so I told her, I said, listen, no offense, but I know more than the cashier at Ulta, and they work on commission. So she's probably just trying to sell you so that she can make a commission, which I get it, right? Like, sales is your job. So I'm not shaming her, but I'm just saying that there are people that do want to just make money off of you, but I'm not one of them. And like I said in one of my very first episodes, there are going to be some estheticians that don't agree with the way that I do things, because I will tell you that there are some over-the-counter products that you can order or that you can pick up. But then I will also tell you that there are some things that you definitely just need to invest in, because your skin is yours for life and you should definitely invest in it and not just always try to take the cheap way. So that being said, one of the my favorite ingredients is a group called retinoids. So most people know what retinol is. There's retinol, retin A, retinoids, and they're all in the same family. Retinoids are a little stronger. What they do is to help speed up healing, prevent breakouts, and support the skin's immune system. And they promote a natural moisturizing, which is weird because typically when you start using one, you might notice that you're a little dry, but it is a very active ingredient, and it is supposed to – it's something that is supposed to have your skin get used to it. So it would make sense to be a little bit dry and flaky, but after – like let's say you start at a 0.5% retinol, and then you've never used it before and you're going 3 or 4 times a week, and so your skin is getting used to it, totally fine, totally normal, then you can bump it up once that flaking goes away. But retinoids are incredible, and you can even now – so it used to only be retinol and most over-the-counter retinols, and I think that 99% of over-the-counter retinols are garbage because they're just not actually active and the retinol in them is not – good. But there is an over-the-counter now. It used to only be prescription, and it's called Differingel or Adapalene. They're both a retinoid, and So you can pick that up just about anywhere now. But because it's a retinoid versus a retinol, those are going to be stronger. So just be careful with that. But retinol is amazing with treating acne, reducing wrinkles and sunspots and all the things. So we love retinol / retinoids. And the strength of what you choose is going to be dependent upon your skin and whether or not you've ever used one. Okay, so the next thing that I love is niacinamide. This is another ingredient that most of you, if you're listening to this, it's likely that you care about skincare, so you probably have heard about niacinamide. It's vitamin B3. It's water soluble and it works with natural substances in your skin to visibly minimize your pores and improve uneven tone. It's also a good friend to retinol. Not meaning it does the same thing, but meaning that it's a good thing to use together. Niacinamide is in a lot of things. And there's actually even some because like I said, it's vitamin B3. So some people take niacinamide, especially for those that have pigment issues. They will take a over-the-counter or even a prescribed niacinamide in the vitamin form and then use it topically as well. So niacinamide, another great ingredient. And then we're going to move on to L-ascorbic acid. I just learned that the L in front of the L-ascorbic, because I always wondered why I would see different things. So of course, I'm always learning. I'm always trying to learn more and educate myself on ingredients specifically. But the L in front of the ascorbic references how the molecule itself rotates to light and refers to its source. So it's actually more concentrated and can, I guess, more powerful is a better word to say. So that is what the L does. So when you're looking for a vitamin C, which is usually what people are looking for when they're getting an ascorbic acid, it's an antioxidant of vitamin C. What that does is promotes collagen production and can diminish fine lines. Obviously, if you're promoting collagen, you're going to help to plump the skin. But also, it's a really great brightening product. It is an amazing antioxidant, and so it's going to neutralize free radicals and provide brightening benefits. So I super love a vitamin C. I love it during the day. Now, it's not something you're going to use with retinol back to back, but L-ascorbic acid, it's going to be more stable. So it doesn't mean that you absolutely have to only find L-ascorbic. Also, if it's the first time you've ever used it, you maybe just want an ascorbic acid or a vitamin C because it is an active, a stronger ingredient. So you might just want to look for the other, the just ascorbic versus L-ascorbic. So then let me see. I have this little Google sheet I'm looking at and deciding what I want to talk about next. So we talked about niacinamide. Okay, so aloe is in a lot of things. Most people think of it as being just something you apply after a sunburn, which yes, but it is a great anti-inflammatory ingredient, helps to soothe the skin in all realms. So if it's rosacea, if it is a sunburn, if it's a post-procedure healing, so it helps to soothe and reduce redness with its anti-inflammatory. And a lot of people will put it in the fridge because, again, most of the time when people are thinking about aloe, they're thinking about sunburns and post-sunburns, but just don't get a sunburn. Maybe you should just wear your SPF. Okay. So here's the other thing, probiotics in skincare. I have been reading a lot about probiotics and prebiotics in skincare ingredients and in masks. Mostly I find them in masks and mostly in medical grade. I don't have any idea of over-the-counter probiotics for skin that I love so far, but if you think about what probiotics do for your gut, they are also similar for your skin. So they're going to help feed healthy bacteria to balance your skin and protect it against that free radical damage. Research has shown that some bacteria may even help prevent skin cancers and might change some of the ways that the skin grows so that it has a healthier appearance. Again, I am a research nerd, so I love reading about all the different ways that different ingredients and products can help your skin. But probiotics are wonderful and they are something that anyone can use. It's not going to be skin specific or condition, skin type specific or skin condition specific. And I know that I'm going to be talking about a lot. I've already talked about quite a few ingredients and I'm just going to be talking about more. This isn't something, this is just kind of a here you go so you know what these things do. This is not me saying go out and buy something with one of these ingredients in it and use all of them. Okay, this is just giving some information because again, that is my goal with the Skintellectual is to educate and make things a little easier for the general population. So the next thing, how about some resveratrol? So resveratrol is something that I think people confuse with retinol. It's not the same thing, but it protects your surface, your skin surface, and helps to brighten your skin. It is typically a nighttime ingredient, but it is definitely a great anti-aging, and it's in a lot of creams versus just being like a serum. How about, let's see. So I, y'all know, if you know me at all, you know that I love me some glycolic acid. I love glycolic for a lot of reasons, but I love glycolic for its brightening options. I love glycolic for its small molecular size, so it penetrates deeply. I love glycolic washes. I love all the things about glycolic. But another acid that's wonderful is mandelic, and people forget about her a lot. She is pretty important, and she really helps sensitive and acne-prone skin because she is a larger molecule, so she doesn't penetrate as deeply. So she can be tolerated by sensitive and acne-prone skin. So mandelic is a great option and a very good go-to for acneic skin. How about peptides? Peptides are the building blocks of collagen. Peptides are like a holy grail anti-aging ingredient. They tell your skin to promote collagen. And honestly, it's where collagen comes from. So even at like the very bottom layer of your skin, so in the basal layer is where those peptides are beginning to build and where new cells are built. And peptides are the building blocks of brand new cells and of collagen. So peptides are a wonderful ingredient. I love them in everything, but I love them in my night creams because night is when I'm using maybe my stronger ingredients. And so I really love a peptide-rich moisturizer in the evening. Let's see. Sorry, like I said, I'm scrolling and looking. Oh, beta-glucan. Okay. This is an ingredient that is fairly new to me, I would say, in the last couple of years. And I was telling my girls, my students, that beta-glucan is hyaluronic acid's older, cooler sister. Like I'm thinking Full House, which kind of shows my age, but I'm thinking Stephanie and DJ Tanner, where Stephanie always wants to be like DJ and wants to do all the things. Okay. So like in that reference, beta-glucan is DJ and Stephanie is hyaluronic. Like they're both really cool. They both have like their own things that they do, but beta-glucan works twofold. So she helps to soothe and calm irritated skin and works great like hyaluronic as an anti-ager to firm and plump fine lines and wrinkles. So she's incredible. She also speeds up wound healing. She provides hydration, antioxidant support, addressing inflammation with acne, rosacea, compromised skin. She's amazing. She is something that everyone should have. There are not a lot of products right now out on the market that have beta-glucan in them, but you can find them and it would definitely be something worth investing in. So the ones that you find are probably going to be a little bit more expensive, but worth it. Okay. I need to get a drink of coffee. Okay. Moving on from DJ Tanner. Also, side note, my sister and I, growing up, she was DJ and I was Stephanie. And like we would just – there was no Michelle. There was no Michelle in our life. But now that I have my own 5-year-old, I feel like she would be a good Michelle Tanner if they were to remake Full House. Anyway, I don't even think I need to mention sunscreen, okay? I feel like y'all know that sunscreen is my ride or die forever. Just wear it. Just SPF forever. I just had a consult recently where the lady told me that she only wears sunscreen in the hot months. And I think that is so common that people don't think of it as a daily ingredient, that they don't need it every day. They only need it if they're going to be out in the sun, or they only need it from like June to October or something, depending on where you live in the world. But it's a daily ingredient. You've got to be protecting your skin. And it is my personal opinion and that of a lot of others in the professional realm that a physical sunscreen is protecting much, much, much better than a chemical. And that is based on the way that those ingredients work. A physical sunscreen is actually blocking rays from penetrating your skin, and a chemical sunscreen is just chemically changing the way that they react with your skin. So there's just so many more questions and so much more unstableness when it comes to chemical sunscreens. So physical sunscreen is the way to go, and if you aren't sure if your sunscreen is physical or chemical, I will tell you how to tell. Physical sunscreen in your active ingredients is only going to say oxide. It is going to say either zinc oxide or titanium dioxide, and that's it. In the actives. Of course, inactive ingredients are going to have some stabilizers and all the things. There's going to have the chemical names for aloe and whatever other things are in there, but we're talking about in the very top on your bottle or on the box that it comes in says active ingredients. If it says any other word, then something ending in oxide, it is chemical, and you are not going to use it. Sound good? Okay, moving on. We talked about probiotics. We talked about niacinamide. So turmeric, it's another one that is fairly new to me, but it is super great with inflammation and oxidation, helping to decrease those things, and also is great with wound healing. And it's something I haven't found in a lot of things. There are some serums, but and please don't go and get like turmeric powder from your grocery store's spices section and put it on your face. Okay, not what I'm going for. How about some chamomile, some green tea? Both are amazing with calming inflammation. Green tea especially is crazy high in antioxidants, which again, we're talking about reducing free radicals, combating oxidative stress, which can come in many forms. There was a day, this was like years ago, and like, I don't even know if I was a licensed esthetician at this point, but because I've always just been a skincare nerd, but one day I didn't put any makeup on. So I just did my normal skincare routine, and it did not include anything tinted. So no tinted sunscreen, no CC creams, nothing. And then I just went to work, which was indoors. I didn't work outdoors. I don't think I've ever worked outdoors except for like in my yard, but not like as a job. So I just went to work indoors all day, came home, and I took just a cotton swab and put some toner on it and swiped my face and took a picture of it to show that I wasn't outside. So I wasn't like in the dust and all the things, but that we still get gunk on our face. We're still fighting free radicals. There's still things in the air that we are not noticing, and because we don't see it, we don't feel it. It's on such a molecular level, but it's there. And so antioxidants are huge, and green tea is one of my very, very favorites. It's also something that almost every skin type can handle because it's so calming and wonderful. Let's see. I want to see how far we are. I just don't like to make my episodes super long. So I was just going to check and see if I wanted to keep going or if I wanted to maybe talk about so alpha hydroxy acids, which glycolic is one of them. But they're wonderful, wonderful ingredients for brightening, for cellular renewal, for skin turnover, for speeding up wound healing, for pigment issues. I'm almost always going to recommend some form of an AHA to just about everybody because they are just that good. So we've got lactic, mandelic, phytic. We've got glycolic. Salicylic is a beta hydroxy acid. So that's in its own group. Salicylic acid as a serum is – so most people when they think of salicylic – sorry, I had to move. So – if, again, in my personal life, I'm wearing a heart monitor currently, and I have this like, it's a second phone. It's a whole phone, and I had it in my pocket and it was bothering me, so I take it out. Anyway, salicylic is incredible for oily prone skin and acne prone skin. Salicylic actually slows down your sebum production, which is oil. And so it's going to help with your pore size. It's going to help with oil. I love a salicylic, but when most people think of salicylic, they think of a Neutrogena, or I do. I think of the very first wash, I feel like. I think the first face wash I ever used was the Orange Neutrogena Salicylic Acid Cleanser. I think a lot of people use that. I don't love Neutrogena. It is no secret. I don't love probably anything that Neutrogena has skincare-wise because there are so many fragrances. Most things, if something smells good, it's probably not good for your skin, just as a blanket statement. If you go to the store, go to Sephora or Ulta, or you order something online and you get it and you're like, oh my gosh, this smells amazing, it probably sucks. It probably sucks for your skin. It probably has a ton of fragrance, and the active ingredients are probably lower on the ingredient list than fragrance, which means it is less than 1%. It's just not good. That's not to say that like some things just smell okay on their own, but especially for some reason, people think that companies that make products think that they need to make their vitamin C smell like a fresh cut orange, or people are not going to use it. So they add all of this fragrance. So if it smells good, it probably sucks if you're putting it on your skin. And then there's a couple other ingredients like hydroquinone that I think I've mentioned before that it's sort of a controversial ingredient. Some people love it, some people hate it. It's incredible, incredible for brightening. So, okay, we talked about retinoids, we talked about niacinamide, we talked about ascorbic acid, L-ascorbic acid, talked about chamomile, green tea. I don't think I mentioned azelaic acid, but it is like one of my very favorite ingredients for acne-prone skin. So if I didn't mention azelaic, here I am mentioning azelaic. It has antimicrobial and anti-inflammatory properties. It's so, so, so good for acne-prone and rosacea skin, azelaic acid. We talked about aloe, turmeric. We talked about beta-glucan, our DJ Tanner of skincare. We talked about probiotics. What else did we talk about? Oh, there's my phone. We talked about sunscreen, obviously. We talked about hyaluronic acid. We've talked about peptides, lactic acid, resveratrol, manzelic, glycolic. I think we covered a lot of ingredients. So hopefully you were taking notes. And if you weren't, maybe you will just go back through and listen to it again. Or just keep listening. Totally fine. So again, like I said, I'm not going to I didn't plan to go deep into these ingredients and give you product suggestions, but if you heard of something or heard an ingredient that you think you might need or that your skin might benefit from, feel free to reach out to me. I'd love to give you some recommendations. Thanks again for listening. You guys are amazing. I am so grateful for people who listen to me every week and think that I am worth listening to. It really makes my heart so happy to be able to branch out and be doing something new in the realm of the world that I love. So I appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of The Skintellectual. I truly appreciate each and every last one of you, and I would really love it if you would leave a review or if you would reach out to me on one of my social channels. You can find me on Facebook at Debbie Jones, The Skintellectual. You can find me at a Facebook group that is at Debstatician, and you can find me on Instagram at Debstatician. You can email me at debbiejones711@gmail.com, keeping in mind that I spell my name with only an I, so it's D-E-B-B-I Jones, J-O-N-E-S, 711@gmail.com, or reach out to me on any of my social channels. I would love to hear from you.